persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Let's see, the top five New Year's resolutions from millennials. First, get even more angry at microaggressions. Well, that's a term coined by psychiatrists back in the 70s. It refers to minor subtle insults directed at minorities or socially marginalized persons. The second is strengthen my selfie game. Now, the third is learn how to even. Get the book, How to Even for Dummies, and start by completing your sentences. And anyway, here's the last one on the list. Feel less entitled to feel entitled. Well, that last one certainly does suggest there is hope. Okay, my dear friends, get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, we're about to get our first reality poll, if you will. The Iowa caucus is upon us. Current polls nationally, Trump is at 35.3, Cruz at 20, Rubio at 11, Carson 9.7. And then break out your binoculars, folks. The rest are fading fast. Christie at 4.7, Bush at 3.3, Fiorina at 2, Kasich at 1.7, Huckabee at 1.3, Santorum, Graham, and Pataki sitting there in the zeros. It's narrowing down to a Trump-Cruz bout. But if you refocus on Iowa specifically, guess what? The latest poll has Cruz out front with 31.8 and Trump at 27.8, followed by Rubio, 11.3, Carson, 9, Bush, 4.8. And by the way, this is a Real Clear Politics poll that averages several polls together. CBS has Cruz in Iowa at 40 and Trump at 31. The Iowa paper, the Des Moines Register, has Cruz at 31 and Trump at 21. That's a 10-point spread. Will the Gophers tolerate a Cruz or a Trump nomination? I'm hearing rumblings about a coup against party members if they nominate a conservative outsider. I didn't mention Carson with Cruz and Trump as outsiders, only because he is beginning now to fall back from the pack. I've always had reservations about Carson anyway. I could vote for him, and I like him, but he's certainly not a first choice for me. I agree that Carson is an outsider, but as I suspected, the closer we get to the last lap in this race, the more conservatives are going to recognize that Carson is a very nice man, a very smart man, and a worthy citizen, but not the commander-in-chief that we need to stand up against ISIS. And furthermore, regarding Carson, there is something that has bothered me more than it seems to have bothered many of my conservative friends. He is a relatively new face in the conservative camp, and while he is clearly growing in our direction, that he is not quite there on a few issues became apparent a few times during the campaign so far. Each time, he corrected to the right, thankfully, but that he needed to course correct at all proves my point. Carson is a conservative in the oven, if you will, but too gooey to be served up as presidential just yet, as I predicted Carson's beginning to fade. Of course, Rubio is now identified fully with the GOP establishment aristos, which is always a negative to Reagan conservatives. You know, we've used that moniker, Reagan conservative, often to differentiate the establishment goper from the consistent and comprehensive conservative, using comprehensive to include social and physical conservatives. But the fact is, the conservatism that has emerged today is actually stronger than Reagan's brand. The harder the left pulls leftward, the harder the right pulls back rightward. I mean, there's going to be a snap in the rope here in this upcoming election. I think that's going to complete the polarization of the body politic in America. It's coming down to a fight between outright democratic communism, represented by Bernie Sanders, together with democratic crony socialism, represented by hilarity on the one side, with Republican conservatism on the other side. Anyway, in this election cycle, any candidate identified with Gopher insiders is a major negative. Besides, I marked Rubio as a left-leaning establishment Gopher well over a year ago. A card is becoming an annoying, sort of irritating itch you can't reach, you know. I'm a Californian, as you know, and I remember the Carly pulling Rose Bowl maneuvers back in, 2010. The Rose Bowl reference is an allusion to the recent Carly pander to Iowans. Her alma mater, Stanford, was playing the University of Iowa, and Carly tweeted that she was rooting for the Iowa team. But I remember Carly Pender when she ran against Barbara Boxer in 2010. We had a true conservative candidate in Chuck DeVore. Awesome guy, and I'm convinced he could have beat Boxer. But the Gopher Establishment Club here in California, in their infinite wisdom, threw in behind Carly. They bought into Carly's line about it taking a woman to beat a woman, but the Boxer gave her the beating instead. But more than that, Carly was a Gopher insider, beloved by McCain, Lindsey Graham, et al., which says it all. She shamelessly pandered to race, praising Jesse High Jackson, thank you, Savage, and playing the race card against my guy, DeVore, something that was so outrageous, even her own supporters winced. She proposed weakening Proposition 13, and that's a property tax limitation that is very popular here in California, especially among conservatives. Equivocated on abortion, dodging the issue, repeating Roe v. Wade's a decided issue, And supported embryonic stem cell research, which is ridiculous. Supported this California Dream Act, by the way, which funded tuition for illegal migrants. Refused to support Proposition 23, which was an effort to suspend that job-killing AB 32 climate change law. She supported Rubio's amnesty plan, supported cap and trade. Come on, attack Cruz for taking his principled stand, keeping a promise he made to his constituents that he would do all in his power to end Obamacare. Anyway, I never believed she was a viable candidate anyway, and she's fading, and I'm glad. And hey, Sarah, I'll forgive you for endorsing Fiorina over a genuine conservative DeVore when you admit you blew it, lady. You blew it when you supported abortion waffler, amnesty supporter, climate change endorser Carly, and that other establishment favorite for governor here, Meg something or other, Whitman, I think it was, who ran for governor here, lost, by the way. I guess Palin's loyalties are defined more by gender than by principled policy positions. Deeply disappointed. Anyway, Carly is fading fast. Jeb, so far as being seriously considered a viable choice for conservative side of the GOP, well, Jeb as he never was. And it's becoming increasingly clear that so far as conservatives are concerned, it is narrowing down to Trump and Cruz. And it appears, at least in Iowa, to be shifting to Cruz and Trump. Will the candidates who are fading out of sight in this race throw in with one of the leading contenders? Apparently, no. For example, Huckabee is attacking Cruz. What? When really Huckabee should throw his support fully behind Cruz. I had actually come to respect Huckabee in this election until very recently. He's getting desperate and decided to fall back into politics as usual. In a recent ad, Huckabee approved a heavily edited video clip of Cruz answering a reporter that presents Cruz as waffling on the gay marriage issue. And really, come on, Brother Huckabee, that amounts to a lie. He's insisting his take on the interview is accurate, but I don't think any honest person looking at that entire interview and comparing what Cruz said in that interview to what he has been saying about this throughout would agree with Huckabee on that. You blew it, brother. If you watch the entire video, Cruz was being 100% consistent with his position on gay marriage. Thumbs down on you, Huckabee. You should follow your own communications director who has recently quit you and joined Cruz. And you should follow her. Anyway, that's where you need to be. You need to step out of the race and endorse Cruz, and that might allow you to regain some integrity here. In fact, that's what Carly should do, too, but she wouldn't. I mean, she's a faithful Gopher, insider. She'll go for Jeb or Rubio. I'd like to see Carson throw his support behind Cruz. Some are suggesting a Trump-Carson ticket. I don't think so. Even a Cruz-Trump ticket would be problematic. Carson has proved to be a man of principle. And when he noodles a question or an issue, he consistently lands on solid conservative ground. Now, I think Cruz and Carson would be a better fit than either Cruz Rubio or Trump Carson or Carson Trump. So it's coming down to Trump and Cruz. What will the Gophers do? I've come across reports that they're talking about doing a backroom in-run around the party members. Now, here's a little something many don't understand about the GOP. The Grand Old Party is a privately owned corporation. It's a private club. It's run by a few GOP aristos, and it's organized so that, in fact, they're not obliged to heed the vote of the party members. Now, it has been their stated policy to accept the nomination of the party members, and policies can change, you know. It would certainly outrage their their members. But if it came down to it, the controlling members of the party could simply declare their nominee regardless of who wins the primary vote. And I've heard rumors that Mormon hopeful Mitt Romney has been approached about taking the nomination appointment. Now, that would be a disaster for the GOP. It would almost certainly push either Trump or Cruz or both to go third party. It's amazing how things are shaping up exactly as I have been predicting for years now in the Grand Old Party. What will happen to the Republican Party if the GOP aristos decide to go all oligarch on us and reject the winner of the primary? Well, folks, that will almost certainly mean Bernie or Hillary will become their next president. And the way the race is shaping up, it's looking more like Bernie is taking the lead there. Okay, let's wrap up the Scheibach election update. Nationally, it's Trump at 35 and change and Cruz at 20. But when you look specifically at Iowa, it's Cruz at 31.8 and Trump at 27.8. And that's pretty close. I don't know the margin of error for that poll, but usually a 3-point, 4-point spread is a virtual dead heat. Remember last week I asked whether if Cruz continues to gain on Trump, would Trump bring up the natural-born citizen issue on Canadian-born Cruz? You know, the Constitution does say in Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 5, quote, no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president, so on, end quote. Now, I addressed that thoroughly in my last show, and I wondered if Trump would pull this, and he's, well, on NPR, I have this, Donald Trump goes birther on Ted Cruz. Okay, that's probably stretching a little bit, but he did raise the question. I addressed that in my last show. The bottom line is that there is no reasonable argument that can prove there is any equivalency or establish any equivalency between the Obama scandal on the birther question and this business with Cruz being born in Canada. That in fact, according to our laws, Cruz does qualify as a natural born citizen within the meaning of that term as it is understood today and agreeable with any reasonable interpretation of the framers' original intent. So you can go to thebrainmassageshow.com and listen to show number 552. On our podcast site, you can listen to the show that's titled Cutting Through the Shuck and Jive. You know, it really is interesting how the Cruz campaign has unfolded. I remember being frustrated that he was not being heard from, that it seemed he was content to, well, excuse the pun, but cruise along in the background. I did suggest there could be method to that apparent madness. He worked in the background, solidifying his message, building his organization, and cementing his connection with his base, quietly, in the grassroots on the conservative side of the GOP. This kept him off the liberals' radar. And you know what? Trump's bombast has also actually served to give Cruz cover as he worked to establish his campaign message and organization without having to dodge liberal bias bullets. However, now he is the clear number two candidate, and he is beginning to edge Trump out in Iowa. So, you know, he's going to start getting shot at more aggressively. A Newsweek senior writer, reporter, published a tweet in which he compared Ted Cruz and his supporters to Nazis. He put out a picture of Nazis waving their swastika emblazoned flag, walking in a pack down a street. Over the pic, this Newsweek senior writer writes, quote, Ted Cruz has a strong ground game in Iowa, end quote. What is with these liberal bigots and their penchant for slapping a swastika on everything conservative? I want you to think about something with me. I'm talking to you livers who have associated Nazis with American conservatives for decades now. I challenge you to name one conservative policy that is reflective of what we have come to hate and loathe from Nazi Germany. Name one conservative who advocates any policy that's Nazi-esque. You cannot name one. There's not one single conservative. I mean, not Trump, not Cruz, not even Rubio or Jeb for that matter. None of the GOP candidates advocate anything like Nazi policies. Your liberal candidates actually do promote Nazi policies. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, trapping a human being in a room and showering them with acid or injecting gas into the room, killing them. You know, just change the room to a tomb, okay? And the acid solution to saline solution that burns the baby to death. Genocide against unwanted human beings. Infanticide. Genocide against unwanted babies. Yeah, that's what abortion is all about. Sanger, founder of Planned Baby Parts Selling Parenthood, embraced notions of genetic engineering that the Nazis used to justify their genocide. You stinking liberals that support abortion call us Nazis? Oh, and wasn't it Hitler who advocated, you know, one gun law after another until he had finally strangled out the right of the people in Germany to own guns? You liberals are the ones who advocate that policy for the American people. You're the Nazis. You're the ones who are the Nazi thought police. You're the ones who want to mind control our kids and brain brainwash them and rewrite our history to conform to your ideology. You're the ones who act like you're superior human beings, presiding over and guiding the next step in human evolution. You're the ones who believe the core doctrines around which Hitler built Nazi Germany. Rationalism, survival of the fittest, relativity. You're the ones who are promoting a Nazi-like government control over every aspect of our daily lives. You're the ones who have declared war on anyone who steps out of line with your ideology. You're the Nazis. Well, anyway, conservative God and country patriots defeated you once before, and we will do it again. 2016 is here. The revolution is now. The horn of the wicked will be broken and cast down, and the horn of the righteous will be exalted. Psalm 75, baby. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back. Oh, by the way, that Newsweek writer who posted the nasty Nazi slur against Cruz deleted that post off his tweet page with the following apology. I deleted my tweet calling Ted Cruz a Nazi. Not fair to his totally decent supporters, as much as I dislike the man himself, end quote. Wonder what brought that about. I mean, how many Cruz supporters does this guy hang with anyway? See what I mean? There's a different wind a-blowing. I'll be right back. Thank you for listening. I would like to extend to you my personal invitation to visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church this coming Sunday. We have a full Sunday school program and nurseries available. Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning preaching service starts at 10:45 a.m. Our hospitality hosts look forward to greeting you with a complimentary cup of coffee or water, some treats, and you'll receive a free copy of one of my books. You'll meet a lot of new friends. You'll be inspired by the worship and encouraged, and your faith strengthened by the preaching. Each Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have a time of prayer for our nation, followed by a relevant message addressing issues of concern to all God-fearing patriots called the Issachar Report. After the Sunday evening service, we meet in our fellowship hall for some food and fellowship, and it's a great time for me to get acquainted with our visitors and to answer any questions you might have about the church or the message. On Wednesday night, we offer a one-hour prayer meeting and preaching time. It begins at 7 p.m. The children can participate in Lighthouse Kids, and, of course, nursery is available for the little ones for all services. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you in church.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling "The Enemy is on the March," an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. So Trump is slipping behind Cruz in Iowa. What's that? Excuse me? Well, okay. Yeah, I saw the Obama Hallmark special. And I thought it was really disturbing. You want me to say whether I thought he was sincere? Well, Trump thinks so. So, I studied body language, as kinetic language, years ago, and learned all the basic tells the body gives involuntarily that signal a lie or the truth is being told. It's not 100%, of course. A really good actor who knows how to manipulate these tells can fool you. And the crying thing, another trick is, to put something in the eye that makes it tear up. Look, I know, it's crazy. We're dealing with a pack of psychopathic liars and pretenders these days. It's all about symbolism over substance. Look, he might have been crying. Frankly, I just don't trust the man. I mentioned that I studied kinetic language. Look, when people cry, really cry, both eyes tear up, and then they wipe their eyes. And this usually occurs spontaneously. You don't get a lot of warning. But a liar will dab his eye, usually one at a time, before the tears come. And an actor will feign they are tearing up, and, before the tears come, touch their eyes with something on their fingers to induce tearing. I would not be a bit surprised if that's what this fella did. I watched the speech. Obama moves into one of his dramatic pauses, touches his left eye and then his right eye, and then the tears show up. So, like I said, I don't know. This guy has proved himself to be a cold-hearted liar. And that is something even his own supporters were bragging about during his first campaign. But if these tears were real, and there is reason to think they were, that's even more disturbing, my friends. It suggests a kind of pathological level of lying, somebody who actually believes himself when he's in full-blown deceit mode. Let's say for the moment the tears were genuine. It's curious to me because, he's not crying for the thousands of children being slaughtered in Iraq right now by ISIS. He's not crying for the Christians who are being butchered in Iraq or the women being mutilated by radical Muslim women hating radicals all over the world. No tears for them. No tears for the baby born alive after a botched abortion. No tears for them. He tears up when he thinks about first graders being killed by, and this next part is key, by a bullet from a gun. Did you hear what I said? Those bad and evil bullets, those bad and evil guns. When bullets from guns kill a first grader, well, that moves Obama to tears. Not one of the bullets that supposedly killed those first graders at Newtown jumped into the gun on its own, and not one of those guns walked down to the school and opened fire on those kids. A crazed maniac did that, like crazed maniacs have killed with knives, and like crazed maniacs have killed with poison, and by the way, in gas chambers, and with IEDs, and a bullet has never killed anyone, but wicked men and women have used bullets to kill. Would Obama cry over a child being burned alive with saline solution in the womb of its mother? No. Would Obama cry over a baby struggling for its life on a cold steel table after a botched abortion where we have no question about them feeling the pain? No. He thinks he should go ahead and finish the wicked deed, but what makes Obama cry? When, what, a bullet from a gun kills a kid? This is truly sick, my friends. It's warped and twisted, and look, adding insult to the injury he inflicts upon our common sense regularly, he proposes a string of infringements upon our Second Amendment rights, knowing full well that not a single one of his proposals would have stopped any one of the deaths he's crying about. In other words, he's crying about bullets from guns that kill children, and proposes not one single thing that would have stopped even one of those deaths. But he does succeed at layering more and more restrictions against honest and equally sincere people who love children every bit as much as he does, who are genuinely concerned about protecting their babies from muggers and rapists, from terrorists, like the San Bernardino 3, and I did say 3. He thinks background checks are going to stop these crazy people from getting guns when the resources of the State Department could not identify that dangerous Mohammedan Muslim female ISIS wannabe that came here to marry an American neighborhood Mohammedan Muslim that actually pulled the trigger on the guns that launched the bullets that killed those innocent people in San Bernardino. Or what about that terrorist he freed from Gitmo a while back that is now working as part of Al-Qaeda's leadership in Yemen? Someone who actually pulls the trigger of a gun that launches the bullets into the bodies of innocent mothers and fathers and children. Does he have any tears for them? How about some tears of shame? Do you see why I think this guy's a phony? He's as phony as a Bill Clinton $3 bill. While Obama's crying about American-owned bullets from guns that kill children and has no tears for ISIS bullets from guns that kill children, and while he wants to limit law-abiding citizens from freely exercising their Second Amendment rights, his policies have let loose thousands of dangerous illegal migrants into our streets, and his policies do nothing to stop terrorists from getting into our country embedded in the horde of Syrian refugees, he wants to admit. And now get this, right now, he wants to release 17 more Gitmo prisoners, some of whom almost certainly will pick up a gun and launch some of those horrid, nasty little bullets that will do a great deal of damage to the bodies of innocent men, women, and children. Quote, the Obama administration has notified Congress it plans to transfer 17 detainees from Guantanamo Bay, and they could be released as early as this week. One source who reviewed the list spoke to Fox News and said that the list contains multiple bad guys and Al-Qaeda followers. He said, not taxi drivers and cooks, end quote. Judge Genie's right, Obama. You want to do something about bullets from guns killing children? Well, then kill some terrorists. And admit something, Mr. Obama. Admit that every time one of these idiots go about killing innocent children, it's a bullet from a gun that stops them every time. In other words, bullets from guns have nothing to do with it, my friends, except that he wants to get his hands on our bullets and guns. It's the guy holding the gun. Restricting law-abiding citizens from exercising their Second Amendment rights will do nothing to stop bullets from guns killing children. But bullets in guns held in the hands of the good guys will actually do something about this problem. Okay, so much for the tears of Obama. Don't make the mistake of thinking I'm missing the fact that he's at least wants us to believe he's concerned about the children who are killed. We're all concerned about that. What I'm trying to help you understand is that what he wants you to do is focus your attention on the killed children. But trust me when I say that's not where his focus is at. No, that's not what he's after. No, he's after the bullets and the guns. He wants you to be looking at the brokenhearted parents of children killed by maniacs while he deftly reaches into your home and takes away your guns. He's after your guns, my friend. If he truly wanted to protect the children, well, he would make sure we had guns in the hands of good guys in every classroom in this country. But you know what is even more disturbing about his recent crying speech? You know, Obama's been the divider-in-chief president. It's divide and conquer with this guy. Poor against rich, left against the right, black against white, Christians against Muslims, traditional values Americans against progressives. Every natural division that does exist in this country has been exploited by this president to agitate tensions unlike anything I've ever seen. And in this speech, this divider is now pitting one inalienable right against another one. He's dividing the Bill of Rights against itself. I did a series of Bible messages on the Bible and the Bill of Rights. It is available in our bookstore, the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Go to baptistlighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button. I think it's still available free. I haven't had time to go and update the bookstore. Meanwhile, go ahead, take advantage of how busy I am lately. You should listen to every one of these messages, the Bible and the First Amendment, the Bible and the Second Amendment, right on through all the first 10 amendments, otherwise known as the Bill of Rights. One of the many insights developed there is the truth that these rights are interconnected. Every one of them is interrelated. Not one of these rights contradict or cancel any other. Every one of them complement one another. Obama opened up his crying speech with this statement, quote, Second Amendment rights are important, but there are other rights that we care about too, end quote. See how he set up the Second Amendment in opposition to the First Amendment in the opening of his crying speech. You know, first he disarms you, says Second Amendment rights are important, right? But, a term of contradiction, undermining what he just said. But there are other rights that we care about too. As if the Second Amendment right is somehow at odds with some of the other important rights that we care about. The fact is, the Second Amendment is absolutely critical to maintain all the other rights. He goes on to suggest that the Second Amendment right can get in the way of our right to worship freely and safely. The Second Amendment is not an enemy to the First Amendment. The Second Amendment is not responsible for ISIS trampling all over religious liberty or Muslim radicals denying religious liberty to others all over the planet right now. He sets this up with the suggestion that the Second Amendment, you know, well, that's fine and good, but hey, you know, that Second Amendment, it's somehow in some ways responsible for these people who are taking away the First Amendment right to worship freely, and we care about that too, you know. Because a shooter went into a church in Charleston and shot people in South Carolina, and Jews were shot in Kansas, and Muslims on Chapel Hill, and Sikhs in Oak Creek, and thousands of Christians in Iraq. As if the Second Amendment was in some way responsible for any of this nonsense. As if the Second Amendment somehow is responsible for these evil bullets that jumped out of guns on their own and took the First Amendment away from worshipers. And he goes on, suggesting the Second Amendment was in some way responsible for the shootings in Aurora, Lafayette. He talks about the inalienable right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness being robbed from college kids in Santa Barbara and Columbine and first graders in Newtown when it was bullets from guns in the hands of good guys that secured for us these rights in the first place. Good night, this man is something up. Somehow, that Second Amendment, which is fine, by the way. Yeah, you know, we don't want to take that away. But look, hey, what about all these horrible events this Second Amendment has been a party to? I mean, you know, we've got to do something about this Second Amendment. We can't just let it go on because all these things that have been done to first graders by it. You see what I'm trying to say? What he's doing? Because this Second Amendment, it allows bullets to jump out of guns and kill our kids. Listen, my friends, I've been watching this snake slither about our country for about 8 years now. That forked tongue's flipping about, working his lies in the minds of sympathetic types who don't think critically. The Second Amendment is not responsible in any way for taking anybody's rights from them. In fact, it is exactly the opposite. The Second Amendment is today what it has always been understood to be, a necessary security for our rights as Americans, a bulwark against tyrants. So to conclude, hey, what about a Cruz-Trump versus Bernie-Hillary matchup in November? I like a Cruz-Carson ticket myself. Truth be told, I don't trust Trump. He's a newbie to the conservative side of many of the issues he speaks so strongly about today, and his reputation is that of a pragmatic rationalist who will, in the end, do what's best for him. A masterful negotiator, no doubt. Yeah, wheeler-dealer, who knows how to manipulate a negotiation to his advantage and make you think you're getting the better end of the deal. Watch out. There is a reason he has been close buds with the Clintons for decades, and now suddenly he's trashing the Clintons? Okay, maybe he's seen the light. Maybe he really does get it. But maybe he knows what Americans want right now, at least the conservative ones, and he knows they are angry and ready for red meat, and he is willing to feed it to them in exchange for their vote so he can get the power he wants to further his own agenda, and who knows what that really is, okay? I'm just saying. Well, folks, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. Or if you prefer to write to me, go to our website, www.thebrainmassageshow.com, and you'll find a place there to write me an email. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.